Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
So I want to talk about eight stages we need to be aware of. I need to correct that in the title, that typo. Eight stages we need to be aware of from the Apostle Peter. Eight stages, and all these are found in Matthew chapter 26. So if you have your Bible and you want to follow along with me, Matthew chapter 26 is where we're going. I know I was going to come on here Friday, guys, but I went ahead and had the opportunity to jump on here today, and this was a word that was burning in my heart. So that's the thing about us is we, you know, if I feel like the Lord is saying go, then we're going to go. If he says stay, we're going to stay, and I just kind of go with whatever he puts on my heart. So let's do this thing. Eight stages that we need to be aware of from the Apostle Peter. Matthew chapter 26. Let me bring up my notes here. I'm going to have this here. Let's go to the text, Matthew 26:33. We're going to go over to the book of Matthew 26:33. Well, let's jump up here to verse 31. And then Jesus said unto the disciples, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter then answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And Jesus said unto him, assuredly I say unto you, this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said unto him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. And then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter. Somebody say he took Peter with him and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. All right, so that's going to be our text here. And we're gonna go a little bit farther than that, but let me talk about this. Again, eight stages of Peter's life that you and I need to be aware of. So have you ever wondered, When we talk about Peter, we know that Peter ends up denying the Lord. We know that he ends up falling away. He ends up going into a place of in a place where his walk with the Lord, that he walks at a distance, he walks afar off. He denies that he had a relationship with the Lord. We know that he wept and he wept bitterly when the rooster crowed three times. And he even went back. When you compile the book of Matthew, the book of Luke, the book of John, and different texts, and you put them together, the big picture, and you see the whole picture of things, we discover that Peter even went as far as to go back to the very thing that he was doing prior to the Lord calling him to be a fisher of men. He reverted back to what he once was familiar with. Have you ever asked yourself, this is what I'm going to talk about today. Have you ever asked yourself, how does an individual get to a place where they're walking with God, they're on fire with God, they're doing great things for the Lord, they're casting out devils, they're healing the sick. Come on, they are a just They're like Jeremiah. They have a fire that's shut up in their bones. They could not contain it. Come on, they're preaching the word. They're testifying. They're being a light. They're being an example. And then 6 months, 12 months, 2 years down the road, you begin to inquire of this individual and you find out some heartbreaking news. You find out that this individual is no longer going to church. They're no longer reading the word of God. They're no longer coming to prayer meetings. They don't want to talk about God anymore. And what's even more heartbreaking, they're back into the same lifestyle that they used to do. Come on, they're back into the drugs. They're back into the alcohol. They're back into the bars. They're back into the clubs. They're back into their sin. They're back into these things. Now, again, we call that backsliding. We call that falling away from the faith, okay? I know some of y'all don't believe in falling away. Some of y'all don't believe in backsliding, but the Bible is filled with examples of the New Testament. Howbeit, this one is one example of what we're talking about today. But the question is, how does one just fall into this? Do you wake up one morning and say, you know what, I don't want to serve the Lord today. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like reading my Bible today. I don't feel like praying today. I don't feel like witnessing today, testifying today, and I'm just going to go back to my old life. So I propose to you, the answer is no. We don't just fall into that state or that condition. It is a slow progress. It's a domino effect. Let me show you that. So let's talk about these eight stages to this. And we're going to use Peter as an example. Number one is pride, if you're taking notes. Number one is pride. Okay? Let me show you this. And Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. And Peter says, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. So he has this arrogance about him. He has this pride about him. Well, they're going to deny you, Lord, and they can turn their back on you. But I'm Peter. After all, I'm the one that you said, blessed are you, Simon, son, or Simon, blessed are you, Peter, for this has not been revealed unto you by flesh and blood, but this has been revealed unto you by my Father. And upon this rock I shall build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. After all, I'm the one that got that revelation. After all, I'm Peter. I'm the one he called out of the boat to be a fisher of men. I was one of the ones that was there when the little girl was raised from the dead and he kicked everybody else out. I'm Peter. And he says, even if they're made to stumble, I will never be made to stumble. And then he goes on and says, and Jesus says to him, assuredly I say to you this night, before the rooster crows, Peter, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times. And Peter's response, still full of pride and arrogance, says, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. So they're just kind of following suit with what Peter said. Now, what's interesting, let's go over to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and I'm just going to let you turn there if you want to follow with me, but I'm going to read it here. I've got it up here on the screen to save some time. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 13. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. I am going somewhere with this, so hang on. And do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted him and were destroyed by serpents. What's interesting about that, there's still churches and the appellations that still today tempt Christ, and consequently they tempt Jesus, they tempt Christ, they tempt the Lord with venomous serpents, and many of them has been bitten as a result of this, and they have even died. Come on, stop bringing serpents into the house of God. If you're listening to this, not all Pentecostals, not all charismatics, not all spirit-filled believers play with serpents, venomous snakes in the church. Howbeit, I'm one of them. Why would I want to bring something that God cursed into the house of God? Come on. He says, nor complain, and some of them also complain and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples. Now, here it is. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Here it is, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Can I give you what I feel like the Lord is saying from this scripture? If you think that you're not susceptible to fall into temptation and you have this attitude about you, well, I'm not going to fall into idolatry. They may have did that, but that's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to complain like the children of Israel did and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and didn't even make it to the promised land. That'll never be me. That I won't commit sexual immorality because that will never be me. I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that, and that will never come of me, and I can't believe. And then you put your glasses down and you start pointing your finger at all the other believers and other brothers and sisters and say, I can't believe that you allowed that to happen in your household. I can't believe your kids got pregnant out of the wedlock. I can't believe your kids got into drugs. I can't believe you allowed this and this and that and this. And you've got this condemning, judgmental attitude towards them, saying, that will never happen to me, Lord. And the word of the Lord says, there, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In other words, let me give you Brother Ricky's interpretation of this. You better watch out with your attitude of thinking that you're untouchable, thinking that you'll never fall into sin, thinking that you'll never fall, come on, and you'll never come short in any of these areas. Because with that kind of attitude, friends, you very well could one day fall into the very same thing. And what then? Okay? So here's Peter saying, Lord, they can all deny you. They can all walk away. They can all turn their back on you, but not me, Lord. That's not going to happen to me. And Jesus had to sit there and say, listen, Peter, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times. And he still denied it. So number one, if you're taking notes, number one is pride. Okay, Proverbs 16:18, pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So eight domino effects, eight things that happened to Peter that we need to take note of. So number one, pride will call us. Pride is one of the dominoes that will cause us to fall away, cause us to backslide. If you've got pride in your life, friends, it's time to get it out. Number two, Peter denied the word of the Lord. Listen to this, Matthew 26, 33. Peter answered in him and said, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And then Jesus again, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. And he says, even if I have to die, I will not deny you. So watch this. Here's a revelation for you. Number two is Peter denied the word of the Lord. Come on, do you believe the word of God? You either believe the word or you don't. So here's Peter got the word of the Lord, but Peter didn't believe it. Oh, come on. It didn't fit his agenda. It didn't meet his criteria. It wasn't something that he wanted to accept. Therefore, he rejected the word. And as a result of him rejecting the word, we saw what happened. So listen, when a prophet comes along, when a man of God comes along, when a woman of God comes along and they're trying to give you wise counsel, they give you a prophetic warning, they warn you about something, you've got a choice. You can either heed the warning or you can reject the warning. I don't know about you, friends, but I want to be able to have an ear to hear what the Lord is saying. Is he warning me of something? Is he giving me, is he putting red blocks up? Red blocks. Let me slow down. Red tape and roadblocks. See, I was trying, my brain tried to take two words and make it one. Are we ignoring the roadblocks? Are we ignoring the red tape? Are we ignoring the detour signs? Are we ignoring the prophetic warnings? All these things. If we do that, we already know what's on the other end of this, guys. So number one, let me go through this, guys. Number one, pride is one domino. And then you've got number two, ignoring the word of the Lord. Number three, you ready for this? Matthew 26, 36 through 40. See, we see this dialogue with Jesus and Peter, and Peter has, he's full of arrogance, he's full of pride, and then he begins to reject the word of the Lord. He didn't want to accept it. And then as a result of this, you go down, it doesn't tell us how long, but there's a period of time after that. It says that Jesus goes to a place to pray, and he tells Peter and James and John, stay over here, continue to contend with me, continue to pray with me, and stay awake, be alert, be vigilant. Don't become apathetic, don't become lackadaisical, don't become lukewarm. Whatever you do, keep on fire, keep burning. Come on, keep praying, keep interceding, keep contending. This was his warning. But the Bible says that when he comes back, he finds Peter, he finds them asleep. But Jesus calls Peter out and he says, could you not even pray with me? Could you not hang with me? Could you not stay awake? Could you not contend? Could you not intercede? Could you not continue with me for 1 hour? So that leads me to number three. When we begin to sleep instead of pray, when we begin to feast instead of fast, when we begin to play instead of pray, when we become content, when we become complacent, when we become apathetic, when we become lackadaisical, when we become lukewarm, as a result of this, friends, you can mark it, you can take it to the bank, that this is a condition, this is another domino that's going to cause us, before you know it, when we begin to enter into this state, we won't want to go to sleep. We won't want to pray. We won't want to get into the Word of God. We will not want to gather with other believers, even more so as the day approaches. So again, you see how this creeps in. And interesting, consequently enough, this was one of the warning indicators that Jesus gave in Luke 21 as a sign of the coming of the Lord. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it's going to come on, it's going to come as a snare upon the whole face of the earth. And he says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape these things which shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Whew. See, so Jesus was preconditioning the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's saying, fellas, listen, if you can't hang with me while I'm here with you in the flesh, how are you going to hang with me when I'm seated at the right hand of the Father and all hell's breaking loose on the earth? Come on, somebody, with wars and rumors of wars and desolations and nation against nation and famines and earthquakes and pestilences and all these things breaking loose on the earth. If you can't hang with me in the garden, and you can't hang with me during a prayer session, and you can't hang with me because of some persecution and some lying and some slander, some discord, if you can't hang with me in the good times, how are you ever going to hang with me in the bad times? Come on. Whew. All right. Mark 13, 32 through 37, the word of the Lord says, but at that day and hour, no man knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It's going to be like in a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster. Interesting that he used the crowing of the rooster. Again, and it's right there in the same passage what we're talking about. Or in the morning. Unless coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Come on, somebody. Watch and pray. Come on, are you sleeping? Come on, if somebody's with you, grab them, shake them, say, wake up. Wake up. Things are getting bad out there. The coming of the Lord is at hand. The signs are all around us. Look at the shaking. Look at the upheaval. Look at the discord. Look at the discontention. Look at the atmosphere that we're dealing with. Look at the condition of the church. Wake up. Watch, therefore, and pray. Come on, some of y'all is getting this right now. The light's going off, and you're saying, oh my goodness, I need to wake up. I need to wake myself up. Matthew 13, 25, the Lord says, while men slept, the enemy comes and he sows tares among the wheat. While men slept, the enemy comes in and sows the tares. Matthew 25, while the bridegroom delays, the entire bride, all 10 virgins slumbered and they slept. Are you getting it? Come on, guys. We got to wake up. So number one, pride. Number two, denying or rejecting the word of the Lord. Number three is falling asleep, becoming apathetic. Number four, Matthew 26, 47 through 51. Matthew 26, 47 through 51. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12 with the great multitude with swords and clubs. Now this is when they come and Judas was leading the pack. My goodness, guys, y'all pray for me today. My brain wants to get ahead, or my mouth wants to get ahead of my brain. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. And now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? And then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him and said, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus, and this is Peter, stretched out his hand, drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And that leads me to the number four domino. And that is when you've got all these other things going into in collaboration with each other, when we become full of pride and we become arrogant and we're on our high horse, and we begin to reject the word of the Lord. We start walking in our own will and rejecting his will. Number three, when we become apathetic, complacent, come on, then it leads to number four. We begin to walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. We begin to rely on the flesh and begin to rely in the natural and not on the spirit and not in the supernatural. Oh, come on. Y'all got to get this today. Y'all got to get this. See, Peter, listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's things, thank God I was prayed up this morning. Can I testify this morning a little bit? Thank God I was prayed up this morning when I went out today, because while I was out, I was in a parking lot and someone decided to back into my truck. This is the second time in 6 months that I've been in a parking lot of either a restaurant or a retail center. And I'm sitting here waiting on somebody to pull out so I can go. I cannot go. And out of the peripheral vision, here comes his car backing up. And I said, surely he sees me. And then I realized real quickly, he don't see me. So I laid on my horn, just laying on my horn. That's going on. I'm waving, hey, trying to get his attention. And boom, he backs into me. It's aggravating, but you know what? Thank God, and thanks be to God that I did not lose my temper. I didn't lose my cool. I didn't get stressed out about it, because you know what? It was, first of all, it was his fault, so it's going to be taken care of. All things work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to his purpose. But don't miss what I'm trying to tell you. If I had not been prayed up, if I had not spent time with the Lord this morning and I had not been in his word, then I'm going to tell you, I don't know how I would have reacted. I could have been like Peter and come out of the car swinging. I'm going to tell you something. Peter was not looking for an ear. He was looking for a head, and he missed the head and got the ear. I'm trying to tell you, there's things that you will do in the flesh that you would have never done in the spirit. And it's because, because you're not in the word. You're not in his presence. You're not in the house of God. You become apathetic. You're not praying. You're not watching. You're full of arrogance, full of pride, and you're rejecting the word of the Lord. Therefore, you're walking in the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Therefore, when little things begin to happen that would not normally cause you to lose the victory, and you start seeing yourself losing your cool, losing your patience, losing the victory, come on somebody, then that's a huge major indicator that you're not walking in the spirit, but you're walking in the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Can I get a witness, somebody? So listen to this. Let me prove it some more. Can I prove it? Let me give you some more examples of this. Matthew 26, Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You were with Jesus." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I don't know what you're saying." And when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This guy over here, he was with Jesus." But again, he denied it with an oath, "I don't know the man." And a little later, those who stood came up to Peter, "Surely you were one of them, for your speech," come on, "betrays you." Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, once you've been saved and born again and you learn Christianese, I'm going to tell you something. You could try to hide it. You could try to deny it. You could try to put your little candle under a bushel, but your speech is going to give you away, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is why I've known backsliders filled with the Holy Ghost that backslid, try to run from God, and they're in a bar somewhere drinking alcohol, and they're drunk, and they start praying for people because they're sitting around talking around, moping around and talking about all their problems, all their sorrows. And this person who backslid, but still the Spirit of God is still in their heart, because they're sealed with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. So the Spirit of God is still in them. He's grieved, but he's still in them. And because of that, they are trying to pray for people at the bar. Come on, they've got a beer in their hand, and they got their other hand trying to pray for somebody. And you say, "I don't know if I believe that." Guys, I've seen it over and over again. And they say, "Look, you're one of them. Your speech betrays you." But Peter, and then it says in verse 74 of Matthew 26, "And then he began to curse and swear, 'I don't know the blankety blank man.'" Now listen, if you've been prayed up, Peter, if you were watching and you were praying and you were interceding and you weren't full of pride, and you would have heeded the word and you would have heeded the warning of Jesus, then chances are you would have not been walking in the flesh. You did not try to cut off some dude's head, and you probably wouldn't be cussing around a campfire, come on, saying that you don't know Jesus. Are you listening to me? Some of y'all say, "Well, I can't get this cussing under control." Listen, you know how you deal with, you know how you get the cussing under control? You mortify the deeds of the flesh. You know how you mortify the deeds of the flesh? You walk in the Spirit. You know, you want to know how you walk in the Spirit? You get in his presence. You get in his word. You get in this, and you get behind your prayer closet. You get in the church. You get into an atmosphere where the fire of God's coming upon you, where it's falling, where the move of God is there. Okay, so then number five, ready? Number five, Peter forsook the Lord, and he began to run from God. That leads me to number five. We begin to run from God and forsake the very thing that we encountered. And the Bible says in verse 56 of Matthew 26, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Are you listening? Come on. I've never heard of anybody to run from God when they're on fire with God. Let me say that again. I've yet to meet one person ever that runs from God, runs from the call of God, runs from their destiny, runs from the church, runs from the word, runs from his presence. I've yet to meet one individual that's ever, ever, ever ran from God who was on fire for God. When they were prayed up, when they had spent time in his presence, when they're being touched by God, when they were in his word, when they were plugged into the local church, when they were plugged into a gathering of other believers, when they were being equipped, when they were being edified, never, never, never do you hear about someone running from God in those conditions. I'm talking about these dominoes. Okay. Number six. Oh, come on. This is good. Number six, Matthew 26:57. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But listen to this. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Okay, let me give you another perspective from the Gospel of Luke. Same story, different angle from the perspective of the physician Luke who wrote this. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Somebody say, Peter followed at a distance. And now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Somebody say, Peter sat among them. And this wasn't the disciples, by the way. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. And I don't want to recourse this, but we go through this whole course. Now, there is so much, guys, in this little passage right here, it's almost like an onion. There is so many prophetic layers that we can peel back on this one little passage. And if you don't mind, let me peel back a couple of these prophetic layers of this. Number one, okay, let's get to the context of what we're talking about and the principles of these domino effect of that lead to a backslidden state, okay? Notice that Peter followed the Lord at a distance. Okay, you ever notice that when we don't deny that Peter had an encounter with God. We can't deny that. Peter had an encounter with the Lord. He was called by God. He was commissioned by Jesus. He was one of the disciples. But watch this. He backslid. And as a result, Peter, come on, he was running from God, but he stayed at a distance where he could be close enough to get warmed by the fire, but he didn't want to get consumed by the fire. Y'all have heard me preach this before. But there's some new people here today. Listen, have you ever noticed? Come on, have you ever been there before? You don't really want to go to church. You don't really want to get in the word. You don't really want to be, you know, you just want to be at a distance. You know, I just want to kind of check out what God's doing in the house of God, but I don't really want to get plugged into the house of God. I kind of want to hear what God's doing, but I don't really want to be a part of what God's doing. I want to stay just close enough to the Lord to get my fire insurance, but I want him to be my savior, but I don't want to be close enough for him to be my Lord. I want to be close enough to get the benefits, but I don't want to be close enough to require the sacrifice. See, Peter wanted to warm himself by the, I call this the backslid section of the church. Come on. That section of the church where that people like to go and warm their hands. They don't want to get too close. They kind of want to sit with the others that are like-minded. Come on. The hurting, the wounded, the bitter, the arrogant, the prideful, the backsliders. Come on, somebody. The sinners. They want to hang out in the courtyard, but they don't want to go to the inner court into the Holy of Holies. There's so much in this. But here's the thing. There comes a time, but the awesome thing about this, guys, the awesome thing about this is that if we, as long as we stay close to the fire, there's hope. But if we ever get to a point where the fire is completely out, come on, then that's when we need to be concerned. But watch this. That leads me to number seven in Matthew 26:58. It says, Peter followed at a distance and he went and sat with the servants to see the end. In other words, he wanted to look. Again, this goes right along with what I'm saying. He wanted to see afar off. Come on. He wanted to be at a distance, not really committed. but just kind of a spectator. And that leads me to number seven. Peter began to mingle with those who were the enemies of Christ. Well, how, are you telling me, Brother Ricky, that we could get to a point in a backslidden state that we would hang out with enemies? Guys, can I tell you something? We have all been enemies of Christ. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and gave himself for us. You can go to the book of 1 Corinthians. You can go to the book of Ephesians. It says that we who were once blind and walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, he has now risen us up. Come on, he's raised us up from that condition. He's lifted those eyes. Those blinders have come on. But we were all walking according to the course of the... We were all enemies of God. But thanks be unto God who delivered us out of darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. But isn't it amazing how we can actually get to a place of a backslidden state? Come on, we can become so cold in our walk with God that we are now more comfortable hanging out with slanders, with blasphemers, with adulterers, with drunkards, with idolaters, with sodomites, with fornicators. Here's a checkup from the neck up. If you ever get to a place where you're more comfortable around lukewarm, come on, Christians or enemies of God, rather than being comforted around sold out, fire branded, devil stomping, Holy Ghost filled believers, then friends, there's something wrong with your walk. And it's time to examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. And then that leads me to number eight. The final one is in verse 69 through 70. Let me scroll down here to 74. We see that Peter denied Jesus three times, just as the word of the Lord gave him. But don't miss it. Peter got to a point where he even denied that he had a relationship with Jesus. Well, hey, hold on here. Look, we appreciate you. We appreciate you coming to the party here. Thank you. It's cool that you came and you're going to party with us, and you brought some drugs, and you brought some alcohol. Cool, man. We're going to hang out. But what, didn't you once go to church? Hey, I don't want to talk about that. I thought you were a Christian. Shut up. I don't want to talk about that. Wasn't you on Facebook preaching and posting all these scriptures? Shut up. I don't want to talk about that. Yeah, that was a fad I was going through. Wait a minute. Wasn't you one of the deacons down there at the church? Yeah, that's where I know you. I went to church one day with my grandma or my mother, and I saw you there, and you were one of the ushers. No, man, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. It must have been somebody else. No, man, that was you. Isn't it amazing we can get to a place? This is sad, friends. You can get to a place where you can even deny that you had a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not judging Peter, guys, at all. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But is it just me? Have you ever read this and said, how could Peter, who had a relationship with Jesus like he did, read about it? How he called him and he called him out, and some of the revelation that Peter had, and Jesus had to rebuke Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." And because Peter, listen, we can't deny this. Peter loved Jesus to the point where he was ready to take a guy's head off for him. Don't miss it. But how did he get to a place where he loved the Lord, where he gave up everything and walked away from all that, to a place where he says, "I don't even know the blankety blank man"? It's amazing, guys. I've come by to tell you today, friends, that number one, this is where this pride and arrogance thing, this goes back all the way up to the very beginning. This is why we've got to be very careful when we say, well, I can't believe so-and-so did that or they would ever do that. Friends, take heed lest you fall, because I don't want to judge someone's circumstances because I've not walked in their shoes. I don't know what it's like to be a rape victim. I don't. So I can never tell a rape victim, well, you just need to pray a little bit more and you need to come to church a little bit more and you need to just get over it. I'm never going to say that. I don't understand what it's like to be molested. I can never tell someone, well, you just need to, you know, you just going to have to suck it up and get on and get over with it. Really? Do you know what it's like to walk in their shoes? Because I don't. But there's some things that I have walked through that you've not walked through and that I've come out on the other end, come on, and still on fire for God, and I can give you hope that there is the end. That leads me to the end. We're not going to leave this thing all sad and this and that and this, but let me give you the hope that Peter had. In case there's somebody watching it today and you say, Brother Ricky, I recognize that this is me. I'm following the Lord from a distance. I'm not on fire for God like I used to. I recognize I was full of pride. I was full of arrogance. I rejected the words of the prophets. I've rejected the word of the Lord. I've followed him at a distance. I've been hanging around with my old party buddies again like I used to, but deep down on the inside of me, I know that I have a relationship with God. I know that I've been touched by God. I know that I've had an encounter with God, and deep on the inside of me, deep's calling unto deep. And though my flesh wants to do this, my spirit man is yearning. He's crying out saying, but the enemy has been lying to you. He's been trying to convince you like he did Peter and tell you that you cannot come back. But friends, I come by to tell you some good news today. See, if you go to the book of Mark chapter 16, it says this. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, this is when Jesus was crucified. Come on. He was hung. He was placed on the cross. He was crucified and he gave up the ghost. Come on. He gave up the spirit. And it says on the Sabbath, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, the Mary, the mother of James and Solomon brought spices that they might come and anoint him very early in the morning on the first day of the week. They came to the tomb, and when the sun had risen, they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. And the Bible says, but he said unto them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But now listen what this angel of the Lord told him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. Notice it didn't say, guys, this messed me up when I first studied this. Why didn't he say, go tell the disciples that he's going before you in Galilee and there you'll see him and he said to you. Okay. Why didn't he say this? Because last time I checked, Peter was one of the disciples. But he says, go tell his disciples and Peter. You know, you want to know why he emphasized Peter? Make sure of all the disciples, of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, of all these disciples, I want you to make sure if you don't get anybody else this message, you make sure you relay this to Peter. Why Peter? Because, come on, the Lord knew that Peter had wept. He had become bitter. He knew that Peter had to be restored back to his rightful place. Because if there was no hope for Peter, I can show you in the book of John that he went back to his fishing business. He went back to his old lifestyle. Come on. And how many people that we know, this very thing has happened to them. They got hurt by church, hurt by a pastor, hurt by a circumstance. There was some kind of storm. There was some kind of a trial. There was some kind of this, some kind of that, some kind of a temptation, whatever the case may be. And as a result of that, they backslid. They fell away from the Lord. They went back to their old lifestyle. And it's been 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. They're not in church anymore. They don't want to talk about God. They'll deny that they ever had a relationship with God. But God, guys, all it takes is one word from the Lord to get them and penetrate them heart. And as soon as they get that one word, boom, they're right back. And I'm going to tell you, that's what happened when Jesus showed up at the shore of the bank of the Galilee, and they were in the boat fishing. And the Bible says that Jesus was all the way afar off, and he had some fish, or he had some fire that was already kindled. And he said, bring me some fish. And they said, we don't have any. We toiled all night. And he says, throw your net on the other side. And as soon as he threw his net over on the other side, he pulled up so many fish he couldn't remember. And guys, all of a sudden, that one word began to stir Peter up. It began to stir him up in the remembrance. He says, my Lord, my God, that is Jesus. There's no one has ever said that and produced anything. But he recognized, wait a minute, that was the same word that I got all the way back when he first called me. And as a result, no other disciple did it. But your Bible says that Peter leaped out of the boat and he swam towards the Messiah. Guys, I come by to tell you today, I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how bleak it looks. I don't care how dark it is, how deep the pit is, how low the valley is. I don't care if you've been backslid 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. Friends, I'm telling you today, it's time to come back. It's time to be restored. It's time to pick up the pieces and get back in the saddle. It's time to get back in the game. It's time to get back in the word, back in the church, back on fire for God in Jesus' mighty name. Come on. If that's you today, I want to flow with the anointing. I want you to lift up your hands right now. If this is somebody that you know, it may not be you, but it's your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your mother, your father, a neighbor, a coworker, a church member, whoever it is. I want you to tag them. I want you to share this with them and say, you've got to hear this word. Listen, I'm nobody special, but I believe this is a word from the Lord for somebody today. Come on, throw your hands up right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I call in the Peter back to his place. I call Peter back home. I call him back into the saddle, back into that relationship. I know that things have been hard. I know that you may have denied the Lord. You've cursed. You've sweared. You're back into drinking, back into smoking, back into shooting, back into snorting, back into whatever it was that God delivered you out of. And I know the devil has whispered lies into your ears and told you that you cannot be restored. You're unrestorable. You cannot be restored. You cannot be brought back. There's no way. You've gone too far. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil is a liar today. And if there's a breath in your body and your heart is still beating in your chest, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is working in your heart and he can pull you back today. We welcome you back to the fold, my friend. And I pray the presence of God begin to flood your spirit right where you're at. You feel your heart beating out of your chest. That's the Holy Ghost. You feel the fire of God coming on you. That's the Holy Ghost. You see those tears that are running down your face. That's the Holy Ghost. That's restoration, friends. That's reconciliation coming back to you. That's God calling you back into the fold. That's God putting you back in your position. See, the same Peter that denied Jesus three times, the same Peter that cursed him around a fire, the same Peter that walked away from him, is the same Peter that stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, this is that which you've heard prophesied. This same Peter that the devil tried to tell him that he was never going to be restored. Jesus had to come find him, restore him, and he used him on the day of Pentecost. Yes, preacher, you can be used again. Yes, woman of God, if you've not gone too far, you can be used again. Come on, somebody. Come on, give. If that's you, give the Lord a hand. Give him a praise. Come on. Thank him today that he is still in the business of restoring his sheep back into the fold. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. So guys, again, I'm telling you, man, I feel this for somebody today. This is a word for somebody. It may not be for you, but it might be for somebody else. If it's not for you, please, I believe the Lord's going to show you a handful of people that it's going to bring to your mind. You need to share them, tag them. You guys that are watching this by YouTube, share them the link with this, whatever it is. You need to get this word out to them. Endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's our main website. Right there on the Facebook Live under description is going to be there's some links there, guys, to support us. You can go there at that link. click on that link and it's going to take you to a page and you can give electronically or you can give by check or money order. Our physical mailing address for those who would wish to bless this ministry, sow into this ministry, a one-time gift. If this is your home church and you would wish to give your tithes or your offerings, again, our physical mailing address for those who wish to give by check or money order is End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, and that's Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. Again, that information for you guys on YouTube will come up again at the end of this, and you'll see that come up for you as well. If you'd like to get a free digest every single day into your inbox, or if you just wish to bookmark our site, please do that. The link is right there on our Facebook Live as well. You guys on YouTube, you'll see all that information as well. So, all right, guys, we're going to sign off for today. We will be back on here probably sometimes this weekend. But until then, we ask that the Lord bless you, He keep you, and His countenance shine upon you in Jesus' mighty name. And we pray that you'd have a safe weekend. We just had another shooting, guys, in California. So, again, keep praying, keep interceding for your kids, for your family. Listen, I don't even want to go out to check my mail or go to Walmart without being under the blood. Come on. And under the shadow of the Almighty. Come on. That's just wisdom. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.